My oldest stepbrother one time mailed me a gator with a, you know, one of those rubber ones with a spear through it. Mailed it to my house. I got it, which is funny, you know, Florida State won. Well, one year, it was a big one. Like, I believe it was the year that Florida State had beat Florida the last game of the season, then Florida beat Florida State in the Sugar Bowl. Well, I mailed all of the Florida State stepbrothers a card, and what it was, I went to the store and I got sorry for your loss and your grief and your sorrow. It said nothing about death. And y'all would have thought I was Hitler himself. Mom even called me, and she's a Florida Gator fan. It's like, oh, you went too far on that one. I'm like, did I? Well, y'all can't handle a card that said sorry for your loss, sorry for your grief and your sorrow. I thought it was a classic. So if you Georgia fans or whatever, if you ever want to get under somebody's skin after you beat them, I don't need to say death. Just say sorry for your loss and during this time of sorrow and grief. I'll get to them somehow, but anyway. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to do something that I've never seen done at any other church. That's like me to do something never been done anywhere else. If the Lord were to come back and there were to be people here, what do they need to do to be saved? And that's what this was written for. You've been left behind. Ruth drew that picture, and it's a person standing in a, and you got it on your book. Please hang on to those books and bring them back. Try not to lose them. You don't have to fill in any answers. We're just going to read over it. And hopefully it's not boring and dry. A lot of time a speaker will get up and he'll read over stuff. And we hope it's not like that. If you have any questions or comments while we're doing this, please raise your hand. If I'm in the middle of a rant, don't stop me. Let me finish my rant. And then I will call on you. So, and you don't have to do it the whole time. You don't have to sit there and get your wife to hold your hand up. As long as I see it, put it back down. And when I get an opportunity. And another thing, I've probably done this revisions about 10 times, would you guess, if not more? Because I'd send it more. Because you see things, you find errors. And one of the things I found myself doing, I'm just giving you some preliminary stuff. When I wrote this, I not only wrote it for the people in the tribulation, I know how this is going to get attacked by the brethren. The independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, premillennial, separated, soul-winning, evangelistic, missionary-minded Baptists are going to get mad about this. I promise you. And so I found myself writing a defense of what we're doing in the book, and me and Andy talked about it, and I agreed with him. Like, you laid out a great argument, but that's not what this is for. It's for the person in the tribulation. So I had to cut out 6 whole pages, and I may need to cut out some more. So what I'm going to ask you to do, you're going to kind of proofread this with me. If you find errors or mistakes, and you probably will, highlight them and let us know. You're not going to hurt my feelings. If you see anything, it's just like I left out a word and it changed the whole meaning. Tell me. I don't mind. I'm asking you to help us. See, this is going to be a representation of our church. We want to put this in the foyer behind glass that says something along the lines, in case of emergency, break glass. Like if you come to church and that's you, and all the church people are gone, the pastor's gone, the church is gone, well, I'm going to need to break this. This is not for today. If a person in the tribute, let's say the Lord come back now, took us all out, and a sinner was to walk in here, they're going to find this track. We got a bunch of them out there. Those tracks will do them no good. If we believe what we say we believe, we are a dispensational church. And don't let that word scare you. Dispensation appears 4 times in the Bible. Y'all do know we believe in things that aren't in the Bible as far as the term. Trinity, nowhere in the Bible. Do we believe 3 in 1? Yes, we do. Rapture, not in the Bible. But we believe the catching away. Dispensation is in the Bible, so if somebody was to say, you're one of those dispensationalists, what's in the Bible? It's in the Bible. And Pastor Andrew went over the rightly dividing overview, and we see that there are different ways that God deals with men. And in the tribulation, it's going to be different than this dispensation. And that's what this is going to cover. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to look at a few things before we get reading. Doctrine is very, very important. Doctrine is what we believe. Doctrine is, listen, if we come together and didn't have a doctrine, then we're just coming together just to come together. Who is God? What does God think? What's the doctrine of the virgin birth? The second coming? The preservation of the Scriptures? The eternal security of the belief? Doctrine is what you believe. It's like a fence or a barrier that says, okay, this is what God said. He is holy, He's just, He's righteous. And we know that based on the Word of God. A lot of churches today don't talk about doctrine because they'll say doctrine divides. Listen, if you're trying to build a church, you don't talk about doctrine. Because if I stand up and say specifically, thus saith the Lord, this is what God said, he may not like it and he may not come back. Or she may not like it and she may not. So churches don't talk a lot about doctrine because doctrine divides the brethren, say. Well, we're trying to gather a church together. We're trying to build a church and we don't want to scatter the church. So let's just not talk much about doctrine. If you preach doctrine, you go to Joel Osteen's church and you preach doctrine, you'll split it wide open. Because they don't stand for anything. Paul here is writing a letter to Timothy and Titus. That's all we're going to look at here just for a few moments. Paul used the word doctrine 17 times. Don't worry, we're not going to look at all 17 of them, but we are going to look at a couple. Paul, writing to young ministers in the faith, mentioned doctrine 17 times. If he had just mentioned it one, it would have been enough. But he mentions it over and over because doctrine is important. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other what? Doctrine. So right off the bat, Paul mentions doctrine. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. That's all we're going to stay in just for this little part. It's just here in Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy 4, 13. And there's 17 times. We're not going to look at all of them. Verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to watch it, doctrine. It's very important that a church teach doctrine. Look in verse 16 of that same chapter. Take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. See, the right doctrine will equal salvation. There are churches out there that teach things that you've got to do for salvation, but they are wrong. They have their doctrine wrong, therefore their salvation is wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. I'm just trying to get you to see, doctrine is very important. It's very, very important. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're still in Timothy's. We're just in the second one now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You know a lot of preachers, you don't know what their doctrine is. They don't ever talk about doctrine. They don't. They just talk about the love of Jesus and God will accept you just as you are. That's all they talk about. There's no doctrine. There's no belief. These churches like Desperation and Highlands, and there was a church in Ohio called the International House of Prayer. Well, that sounds wonderful. But when I talk to those people, and I talk to people at Desperation, I talk to people that's in leadership at the Desperation Church. That's a big one. They're growing. They don't know what they believe. When I bring up doctrines, they say, well, that just divides people, and God just wants to bring everybody together. Not at the expense of doctrine. If we have somebody come in that believe that Muhammad is God, do we want to accept them just because we want to grow? No. You're not welcome to teach that here. You need to go somewhere else because we believe in doctrine. And Timothy, Paul told Timothy how important it is. Look in 2 Timothy 3:16, right there a few verses later. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for number one what? First off, the Bible was written so you knew what God thinks about every subject, about everything, what God likes, what God doesn't like, what God says His attributes are, what God says about the second coming of Christ, what God says about the eternal life of a soul that He creates. God's eternal, and everything He creates is eternal. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. But we wouldn't know that if it wasn't for the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. Number one, for doctrine. That's the number one reason why we have a Bible. Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to keep on reading. He's just talking about doctrine. He mentions it 17 times. We're not reading all of them. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that's where we're at now. These highlands and these mega churches, they do not talk about doctrine. They don't talk about what God says. They just meet in the name of love, and God loves everybody and accepts everybody, and you are welcome here. You can live however you want. You can snort crack on the front row. I'm serious. You can do whatever. You don't have to live. You don't have to do any. God loves you just like you are. And He does love you like you are, but He expects you to conform to His Word. But see, when you start talking about doctrinal things, then you start getting back to a smaller church. That's the reason we're not overflowing. That's the reason we're not packed. We've had people come through here, they don't want the truth. They will not endure sound doctrine. So they're going to go to a church where they're embraced, hugged, literally. I mean, we went to churches where they've had hug fest. Man, don't do that. I'll shake your hand, but I don't, you know. And I might hug some of you, but some of you I'd rather not. And you'd probably rather me not hug you. But it's just this all. And listen, I will say this. The average person cares nothing about doctrine. They don't. They want to feel loved, accepted, and welcome. Now, we do need to offer that. When a visitor comes in, you need to thank them for coming and hope and pray the service is a blessing to you. Have a little smile on your face. Look like you got some joy in you. There's nothing wrong with that because that's what they're looking for. If they come into a church and you teach all doctrine, but you're not friendly, you're not kind, you're not compassionate, you're not, and you need to be all those things, but you can't forsake the doctrine to get the people and just be all friendly and lovey-dovey and kumbaya and just have a big hug fest and we just all love each other and you love me and I love you and I ain't going to say nothing about you and you don't say nothing about me and God just... But that's how you build a big church. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And shall be turned unto fables. And there are churches right now, if you was to go into the average church, independent Baptist church even, but just your average church, and you was to lay down a Bible quiz of things that our kids learn in Sunday school, most of those people, I'm not talking about their visitors, I'm talking about people that go to their church for years. I've been in these churches. I've been in the churches. They don't know their Bible. At church? You go to that church, you go Sunday morning, Wednesday night, you go to Sunday school, and you've been going there for years, and you have no Bible knowledge? I speak this to your shame. But the church, the pastors and the teachers, they don't emphasize doctrine. We're fortunate here. We are a very doctrinal church. Now, we're also, we talked about the three applications of Scripture, historical, doctrinal, and spiritual. Yeah, boy, I about blew it there. I'm glad Andy's not here to listen to that. There's three applications of Scripture. All Scripture is given for doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God's profitable for doctrine. But you can also, we can go back and preach about the story of Noah. And if I go over to Stephen's house and I said, Stephen, what are you doing? He's like, I'm building an ark. Well, why would you do that? Well, the Bible says build an ark. Does not the Bible say build an ark? It does. But who is speaking and who is he intending it for? That's rightly dividing. And people just don't care for finding out exactly. And I started to give you some illustrations, and I got to get to this, or I'll be on this for 6 months. You remember when Jesus said, "If you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of hell fire." You know what Paul? You know what the Apostle Paul called people? Fools. I got the chapter and verse. How do you answer that doctrine? He is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Please go back here and read Matthew 5. He mentions the kingdom of heaven. We're not trying to get into the kingdom of heaven. There is going to be a time when you're trying to enter there in the tribulation. When you're trying to enter the kingdom of heaven, if you do those things, you are in danger of hell fire. Paul called people fools because he knew who he believed in. He was fully persuaded that God was able to keep that which he committed unto him against that day. So Paul wasn't ashamed. So people will see the Bible and they say, well, it says one thing over here, it says another thing over there. The Bible's confusing, it conflicts, and it's just all. No, you just got to rightly divide the Word. You have to understand who he's talking to, when he's talking. And once the Bible is rightly divided, it will make sense. It will make this Bible's like a puzzle, like a 5-million-piece puzzle. And you just lay it out there on the table, and you just start trying to figure it all out, and you start trying to put pieces where they don't go, it won't fit. And a lot of people get upset or get frustrated with the Bible because they can't they can't marry those two. They can't seem to understand why it says one thing in another place, because God's dealing with different people. John 1:31, the Bible says that Christ may be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Water baptism was a sign to the nation of Israel. That's what the Bible says. That's why John's baptism was a sign to the nation of Israel. You've got the Church of Christ now saying you got to be water baptized because it's in the Bible. Paul said, I thank God I baptized none of you. Well, water baptism is so essential for salvation. Why would Paul say that? Because it's not a requirement for salvation. Well, I take that back, and I don't want to confuse you here. Baptism is a requirement for salvation, but we have a spiritual baptism. Remember Jesus said, not many days hence, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'll baptize you with water. I can show you where he says it over and over. It's going to change. You say, why are you bringing it up? Because when you study the Bible, it makes sense. Now, I'm going to tell you again, right off the bat, let's finish this one up here. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. About this idea of doctrine and how important it is. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. These are two young people in the ministry that Paul is writing a letter to, and he's telling them what's important. And he mentions over and over and over again, doctrine, doctrine. Doctrine's important. Teach doctrine. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Paul thought doctrine was important. Listen, if something were to happen to this church, let's say you move somewhere, when you try to find another church, do you know what the number one thing you need to look for in going to another church? It's not whether they have a good Sunday school program for young people. It's not whether they have, teen activities. It's not, they have adult, young adults, or they have old adults, or they have, short people classes, tall people classes. You know what you need to find out? You need to find out what they believe doctrinally. That's the most... We all right, Stephen? You laughing at me or with me? But you can laugh at me. I'm totally okay. I laugh at myself quite a bit. But when you go to look for another church, the number one thing, the top, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for what did they believe? We was in Ohio. We left up there. We was looking for another church, and we looked at Glory Land. I liked Pastor Andrews. Like, we heard him speak, and I said, I don't know where he's at. He may be down in Arkansas, maybe in California. I just heard he preach in Ohio. I like that. I like that kind of preaching. And God said, "Well, I told Andy, I was like, we're going to go wherever he's at." That's before I ever talked to him, knew him, knew where he was. And then the first thing, what if he don't believe in rightly dividing? What if he doesn't believe in dispensational salvation? What if he doesn't? And I'm like, oh man, I really like him, but it doesn't matter how much I like a person. If they don't line up with this, I'm not going. I'm not going because doctrine is that important. So your church is about to put together a pamphlet or a tract on people that are left behind. Now, I believe in through reading this, you're going to understand more now what you have now by going through this. But this is not what this is for. And please do not give this out to anybody. It does them no good. We're in the age of grace. We're in the dispensation of the grace of God right now. If you were to hand that out, is diametrically opposed to what we have today. These are to be left behind for the people that are here when we're gone. Does everybody understand that? Please don't give these out. It just doesn't do any good. But it'll say, we're going to go ahead and get started here. Let me turn this sideways and you flip Is it because I didn't touch it? Well, how do I wake it up? Hey! Did something. I don't even see. Man, y'all, when I was in school, we didn't have calculators. We used rocks. And now we got technology that's Face ID. We'll never get in it. All right. Probably because I didn't. Stephen, am I doing something wrong? This is why you just need to stick with the Bible, stick with the book, because the battery runs out. Technology is wonderful till it ain't. It's designed to make things easier. All right, now maybe we'll be able to do it. All right, so we're going to do this. All right, this is the cover. It says, you've been left behind, now what? It's got that person standing there. And I just think that's they got their back. Can you just picture somebody walks in on a Sunday morning. Let's say the rapture happened last night. Somebody's going to pull up in this parking lot and go, well, first of all, there ain't hardly any cars here. Hopefully none of y'all's cars will be here because you've been left behind if that happens. But they walk in, and it's 5 minutes to 11, and that's what they see. What in the world? And they've been here before. Something happened. And they're going to come to find out that we've been taken. All right. You've been left behind, now what, by me and y'all, Ministry of White Oak. We're not going to get into all that. The following information is for the tribulation time period only. That's the first thing I want everybody to see. It's for the tribulation time period only. And for then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And that's in Matthew 24:21. Most of the people who claim to be, and this is what they're going to read when they open this. Most of the people who claim to be a Christian were not saved. That is why they are still here. They profess to know Christ, but they did not possess Christ. And in Matthew 7:20, it talks about, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. He's not saying I knew you at one time and you fell away. Depart from ye, ye that work iniquity. So they didn't possess Christ, and they claimed to be a follower of God, but they weren't. Those of us who truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith alone have been taken up by Jesus. We are not here anymore. And it gives you the passage. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. So what I'm trying to give the sinner in the tribulation, I'm trying to give them some context. Because I'm telling you, they're not going to know what to do if they don't have instruction. We give out these tracts to tell people the scriptures and what they need to be saved today. This is designed to give them something. Well, to give them the how to be saved. The fact you are reading this means you've been left behind. This document was written to help you navigate this time period. It does not go into detail on any of the topics mentioned in this writing. It is kept short and concise on purpose. If we fully covered every statement in this booklet, it would easily be over 1,000 pages, and that is true. I had a hard time condensing this. First of all, I like to elaborate on stuff. But, man, this is such a deep subject. And let me say this. I mentioned a while ago, I gave a defense of this in the book, and that wasn't a place to do it. If anybody wants to debate me on this, I'd be more than glad to do it. Y'all bring me a victim, and we'll have fun, amen? And I am vicious when I debate. I was debating with a Jehovah's Witness in Florida at a mailroom, and there was probably about 20 people in there, and he starts coming at me about some stuff. And I said, well, wait a second. If you try to embarrass me publicly, I'm going to embarrass you publicly. If you determine that's the game we're going to play, we're going to play. I said, wait a second. You don't believe in paying taxes, do you? You don't believe in the military. You don't believe in saluting the flag, right? And, of course, everybody's laughing at me all of a sudden and says, is that true? Well, you know, we don't believe that. And I said, not only do you not believe it, you're a hypocrite. You're going to drive home on the roads today on taxes you don't believe in paying. Those people like me have paid taxes, so you need to drive in a ditch on the way home. And they were laughing at them, mocking them. And like, you really believe? So if they want to play that card, I know how to debate, and I know how to make somebody. It does not go into full detail. We already mentioned that. And the hardest thing I had was trying to keep it short, because they need the information. They need to know what's important, and they don't need anything else. There's no name-calling in here. I don't, you know, I love Brother Ruckman. I do, man. I attribute a lot of what I've learned from him. But, buddy, he will start naming names at this college. There was a guy in Dayton, Ohio, at Charity Baptist Church, Mike Honstein, cut out every bit of that, Brother Jeff. He cut out everything where he starts naming Dr. So-and-so and whatever. And his book, it wasn't a whole lot bigger than what you got right there. But before, because most of his books, and I understand it. I get it. I understand that feeling. Because I want to go after people. I want to say things. Because there's some brethren that are going to look at this and say, you're wrong. Well, no, you're wrong. Because I've got Scripture. And a lot of these, on every bit of this, I've got Scripture. I list the Scriptures on here. This was written to be easily understood by anyone with or without a Bible background. And I had to remember that. I can't write this in a theological term. I'm just looking at some guy who's been twisting a wrench at, you know, Walmart. And that's another story. But he picks this up. I can't mention that. But this is just, you know, some guy's been working on a power line. Whatever. He picked, you know, what do I do? What's that? It's in the book. Did I not? For which one? Oh, on the doctrines. Here you go. There you go. If anybody else needs it. Okay, no problem. No problem. And all I was doing by showing you, when Paul writes letters to these two young pastors, he mentions 17 times doctrine. I'm just trying to get you to see it really boils down to doctrine. Because doctrine is what we believe. Do you believe the Lord's coming back? Why do you believe that? Because it's in the Bible. Do you believe in the virgin birth? Yes. Why do you believe that? Because it's in the Bible. Do you believe in eternal security? And all of this I'm showing you is in the Bible. This was written to be easily understood by any, and I wanted to put that in there because I didn't want somebody to say, well, I can't get this. It really is written in a simple term. I tried to simplify it as much as possible. Of course, the Bible, when you get into Revelation and Daniel's 70th week, it can become complicated, and I tried to simplify it for folks. It is very simple to understand, but some of it may be hard to believe. And that's what I told them. Like, you may have a hard time believing it, but it's not going to be hard to understand. No attempt is made to sugarcoat anything. Time is of the importance, and we are not going to waste time or space apologizing for anything written in this document. And it does aggravate me, people that will write a book or come up and say a statement. They'll say it, and then they'll spend the next 5 minutes apologizing. Well, then don't say it. If you didn't mean it, don't say it. It will give you the most important information you need to know. Some of the following Bible verses have parentheses in them for clarification. Some are bolded, and some are underlined for emphasis. And I put that in there because I just wanted them to see that I'm not taking liberty with the Bible to make it say what I want it to say, but I may emphasize something or underline it or just so that for emphasis. You've read a lot of things in your life that was not very important. This is not one of them. So I wanted them to see this is important. We've all read things. We've picked up a hunting and fishing magazine or New Purse magazine for you ladies, whatever y'all, I don't know. And it really didn't matter. This matters. You need to read every word of the Scriptures printed in this booklet. It's not the booklet, it's the Scriptures that the booklet refers to that's important. You need to look up every Scripture reference. You need to believe what you read. Your eternal life depends on what you do with the words written in the Bible. And that's all this is trying to do, is point them to the Bible. These are the seven most important things you need to know. Number one, you need to get a King James Bible. This will be your best resource of information. There are quite a few Bibles in the pastor's office. Get an actual Bible. Do not use an app or the internet. Whatever you look at online can be tracked, monitored, and changed. And that is true. The Bible will tell you a lot more about what is about to happen to you than I can in this booklet. I mean, look at how thick a Bible is and look how thick this booklet is. I just try to give them the most important stuff. And I quoted this verse, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for, there's that word doctrine again. See, they need to have the right doctrine to make the right decision. Because if they come into this church and they pick up this tract, and they pick up this tract, they're going to have to make a decision. Well, this says all I got to do is just accept Him and believe, and I'll go to heaven. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, I believe, if we deny Him, He cannot deny us. He abideth faithful. You know it says that? In the Pauline epistle, He wrote that. So if I'm a Christian in the tribulation and that mark of the beast comes up, they can run over to Timothy and says, well, it says right there, if I deny Him, He can't deny me. Go ahead and give me the mark. Because he's basing his claim off of what it says in the Pauline epistle, what Paul wrote. He'll die and go to hell. He will die and go to hell believing what the Bible says because he didn't read the right place. He didn't go to the right source for where he's at dispensationally. You see what I'm saying? So it's important. Doctrine is very, very important. Your eternal salvation depends upon doctrine. The King James Bible is the perfect Word of God without error or corruption. It is God's Word, which He promised to preserve forever. And I got Psalms 12, 6 and 7 there. The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation, which from when it was written, I put that in parentheses, from this, when that was said in Psalms chapter 12, from this generation, he's speaking from the time he's writing forever. That is probably the key verse. If I had to debate somebody about the authority of the King James Bible, that's probably the verse I would use because God promised right there to preserve His words perfect, pure, forever. Now, either he did or he didn't. So when you go to look for a church, if you were to move, one of the first things you need to understand about that church is, are they a King James Bible-believing church? Do they believe that we have the God's Word? That is God's final... Because if you go to a church that uses the New Living Translation and the, you know, whatever, RSV and all that stuff, you just need to, you know, be nice, but just, that ain't for me. It's not just another translation, it is the Word of God. And I wanted the sinner to see in the tribulation, he has God's Word. He's going to have to make a decision what he does with his life, and he needs to base it upon the Word of God. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men. Because see, people say, well, it's just a translation. It's not just a translation. But as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. The Bible, King James 16:11, can save your life if you will trust it and do what it says. I wanted them to understand that. I wanted them in the tribulation to say, where can I go to get information? This boy, this booklet is pointing them to the Bible. And I wanted you to see that. Number two, you need to know it's only going to get worse. There's no sense in beating around the bush. There's no sense in telling you it's we're not going to pull the, Robert Shuler. Something good's going to happen to you today, or something wonderful, or something like that. No, they're in for a bad time. And there's no sense in. Now, I don't go into detail on purpose because it would probably scare most of them. They're going to find out if they read Revelation. I left that part out on purpose. But I am telling them how bad it's going to get. The sooner you come to terms with this, the better you will be. They need to understand that. If you do what the Bible says and you have faith in God, you can be saved, but it's not going to be easy. That's not what we hear today, is it? Because it is easy today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in those days, the tribulation, I give chapter and verse, I give a reference to what I say in all of these comments. For in those days, the tribulation shall be affliction. That sounds horrible. Such as was not from the beginning of the creation of God, which God created into this time, neither shall be. So it sounds like this time is pretty bad. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. That's the days we're talking about, the days that the sinner is in the tribulation. The tribulation, Matthew 24:19. The first part of the tribulation will not be the worst part. The second half will be the worst time in human history. So it's going to seem like, because the Antichrist is going to bring in peace, remember? And it's not going to be the worst part. So in the very beginning, and we're going to get into some wild stuff here. I don't care if you go home and read it, but I'm going to ask if you'll just wait, you know, so we can go over it together, because there's some interesting things that we're going to get into. The very beginning of the tribulation will seem to have a sense of peace and safety for a short while. Don't let that fool you. It will not last long, because this Antichrist is going to bring in peace and safety and harmony, and everybody's going to, you know, they're going to have a huge church, because everybody's going to come together and worship this false beast. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, talking about that time. Number three. Probably need to stop after the second one. Yes. Yeah, imagine trying to be on the run. Yeah, so good. So let's say you got a few people that are left behind in the tribulation. It's going to be bad. The Bible points out if you got a child, it's even going to, like you said, it's going to be hard. Life and death is on the line here, folks. Like, this is for them. And I think going through this study, we're going to stop just on the first two. And I think we'll go pick up speed as we go, because I spent a little time giving you a little introduction into it and why we did it. But this stuff of the tribulation, it's going to be bad. And I thought it would be do the sinner in the tribulation a disservice by not telling them how bad it's going to be. Yeah. I do too, because they're innocent. Well, yeah, that's a good theological discussion. I'm telling you, man, when you get in your Bible, there are some fantastic theological discussions you can get in people. I know me and Andy and Steve and some of us, man, we get into these, you know. There was a guy one time at charity. He would go buy groceries, set them all on the table and pray over all of them at one time and say, well, there it is. I asked God to bless them, you know, and then he didn't pray over any the other time. He said he covered it all. So, I mean, that's just being funny. There was a time another guy, We were sitting around talking one night, and they did the same thing with the box in the back with his tithe, and they had already collected it. Man, they turned the lights out. We're about to leave. He goes, oh, I forgot to give my tithe. So he put it in there, and another brother said, you don't get credit for that until they count it. You know that, right? Theologically, doctrinally, that doesn't get credit to your account until they get. So I'm just saying, you can have fun theological discussions about things when you know your Bible. There's some fascinating things, but I hope this is interesting to you, and I hope you enjoy it. Does anybody got any questions? I didn't really open it. Yes, you get to keep the book. Like I said, please hang on to it. And it's really not for today, you know. And I don't, even if somebody got it, it says right off the top, this is for the tribulation time period only. But still, we're going to catch some flack for this, and I'm willing to take it. That don't bother me. But you as a member of this church, if you've got a problem with it, I really hope you come and talk to me. We can sit down. What's that? Call me. Yeah, I don't mind. I would love to debate somebody about this. Love it. And y'all would too, because I'm telling you, I've debated Church of Christ. I debated a Church of Christ pastor. So I'm not. Look, and you say, is it because you're intelligent? No, I just point to the book. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says this. The Bible says that. So, I mean, you can't go wrong just doing that. All right. I guess we'll go ahead and pray, and we'll get ready for the morning service. Our Heavenly Father, Lord.